This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett. Here with your top stories this Wednesday. The suspect who fled from an officer-involved shooting on I-70 yesterday has been caught and is in police custody. That's after a manhunt closed the interstate for over 8 hours from Glenwood Springs to Gypsum. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports.
The Eagle County Sheriff's Office announced at 2 p.m. yesterday that the suspect, 30-year-old Kenny Espinoza, had been apprehended. This comes after he and another individual were in an officer-involved shooting yesterday morning. Eagle County Sheriff James Van Beek said that no law enforcement officers were injured during the shooting. The injured individual was taken to the hospital and has since been released. Van Beek emphasizes that the incident scared many Eagle County residents.
I want to acknowledge that what happened today really rocked our community. It's extremely frightening. It's been disruptive. But thankfully, we have people that are responding.
The Colorado Bureau of Investigation is now leading an investigation into the shooting. Espinoza is also the suspect of a murder investigation in Denver. There were 5 additional people in the suspect's vehicle at the time of the shooting, including minor children. I-70 has since reopened and shelter-in-place orders have been lifted. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
The executive director of Garfield County Libraries has announced he'll be retiring in April. That's after 4 years at the county district and decades of leading public libraries across the state. As Eleanor Bennett reports, Jamie LaRue has been staunchly against efforts, both locally and nationally, to censor books.
Some residents who want to restrict kids' access to adult books consider LaRue too liberal and have advocated for his resignation in recent years. But that's not why he decided to retire.
In fact, I think I probably stayed longer because of it. I'm 71. My father died at the age of 72, and I'm feeling the need to spend a little more time attending to my health.
The current library board will be responsible for hiring LaRue's replacement. He hopes they will choose a qualified candidate who also stands up for the First Amendment and the freedom to read.
We're seeing a lot of pressure on libraries and library directors, Mesa County, Meeker, Colorado Springs, some other places. You know, it's happening all across the country. But I think our board is in pretty good shape.
During his tenure, LaRue also expanded the library district's Spanish language offerings, as well as its bilingual community events and early literacy programs. For Aspen Public Radio and Aspen Journalism, I'm Eleanor Bennett.
The city of Aspen wants to revamp its annual community picnic. The picnic has taken place in mid to late August at different locations across the city for the last 5 years, but attendance has steadily declined. The city's special events and marketing director, Nancy Leslie, wants to change that.
Look at the feedback we get from Mactoberfest. Look at the Art Cart Rally. These are things that people are like, when are you doing this next year? And we just don't get that with the community picnic. And we think we have an opportunity to.
Aspen City Council suggested hosting the picnic at the same location every year for consistency. They also suggested including more activities for kids or food competition events like at Mactoberfest or Soup School to engage local businesses. Leslie told City Council the special events team will probably schedule the picnic outside of the busiest summer months and closer to the off-season. In statewide news, Colorado's wolf restoration program is in limbo, entering its 3rd year. KUNC's Scott Franz reports the state still hasn't found a new source for wolves after the Trump administration nixed plans for a second batch from Canada.
Time is running out to mobilize a backup capture operation this winter, and Colorado's wolf advocates are starting to ponder life without a third wave of wolves. Rob Edward leads the Rocky Mountain Wolf Project. He says the state should do more this year to protect the roughly 50 animals on the ground.
Every means possible to prevent the need for lethal removal of wolves should be applied in every situation, because every single wolf on the ground in Colorado is now more genetically important to the long-term success of this program.
The Trump administration last month threatened to take over management of Colorado's wolves. Parks and Wildlife says it's working to avoid that, and it would be, quote, advantageous to keep control of the program. Scott Franz, KUNC.
And in regional news, after the Trump administration froze or eliminated funds, tribes are looking for ways to move forward with renewable energy projects. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Gabriel Pietrazio has more.
The Nonprofit Alliance for Tribal Clean Energy estimates at least 100 tribes across the U.S. are facing cuts and bottlenecks.
Certainly, the air has been sucked out of the room in terms of funding on the federal side, but I'm really happy to say that all is not lost.
Clara Pratt is Diné and managing director of Navajo Power, a Flagstaff public benefit corporation helping build utility-scale projects on tribal lands. She's also a Democrat vying for a spot on the Arizona Corporation Commission.
There's still a lot of projects that are going to continue to move forward, but what's also been a little bit shaky is the market and the industry interest in renewable. We've seen in Arizona some of the rollbacks that utilities have done voluntarily, and it's all very political based, not upsetting who's in power right now.
Driven by federal decision making, including grants being canceled, like the EPA's Solar for All program, which would have helped power some 600 low-income homes on a reservation in northern Arizona.
Hopi tribe was forced to forfeit that.
That's Hopi Councilman Darren Melvin.
On one hand, you have this rationale, it being about energy and efficiency, but really the end result of this seems to have nothing to do with efficiency.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
People around the world are eulogizing Bob Weir, a founding member of the Grateful Dead. As Shauna Lewis reports for the Mountain West News Bureau, the legendary musician who died over the weekend had a special connection to our region.
That's Weir in 2015 playing with a former classmate at Fountain Valley School in Colorado Springs. He attended the private school for a year in the early 60s. During that visit, when he received an honorary diploma, he said he got kicked out for being too rambunctious.
And perhaps the best thing, more than perhaps the best thing that ever happened to me, is I was pretty much on my path when I left here. I found that path here. That's what this place is all about.
Weir also met the late poet and lyricist John Barlow at the school. The two became lifelong friends and songwriting collaborators.
That was Shauna Lewis for the Mountain West News Bureau. The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.